Levitz in Sadi Racha many, many times. I say that advisedly. He quoted from Rabbi Ruchim Levitz, the Mira Mashkiach, that the week of Parshat B'Shalach, the most appropriate theme to talk about is the theme of Bitochen and Hashem Yisbarach. And as you know, this is relevant to Tu B'Shvat, which also is going to take place
soon.
Next week,
thank you. Because what is the theme of Tu B'Shvat?
It's Rosh Hashanah
Leilanos. Yes, Rosh Hashanah Leilanos, the idea of Zoreya, Zriya, and Netiya, which of course requires a lot of Emunah Mitochen. If you remember the Tesis in Shabbos, do you recall the Tesis in Shabbos? And Daf Amud Aleph, is that where it is?
I haven't seen it in about 19 years of Shiva.
Okay. We have a lot of comedy in this year. Tesis in Shabbos and Daf Amud Aleph. The Gemara has here in Shabbos a famous Gemara. The Gemara quotes a pasuk. Pasuk Yishayo, V'hoyah emunah sitecha, chesed Yeshua es chachma v'das, emunah zeh seder zroyim. Why seder zroyim emunah zog tesis? Mefarsh b'Yerushalmi, shemamin b'chay ha'ilomim b'zorea. Gesundheit. What does tesis say? That you believe in Ribbono shel Olam chay ha'ilomim and you're zorea. It means a person plants, you plant seeds in the ground and you express your trust in Hashem Yisbarach that the seeds are going to grow, they'll produce fruit. And that was essentially both Parshat B'Shalach and Tu B'Shvat are relevant to the issue of Emunah. Now, you undoubtedly, if you have a Chumash in front of you, it will be helpful. Unless you know the Parsha by heart, which you probably do anyway. But it will be helpful. Maybe you just hold this for a second until they get the Chumash. Opposite it, by the sea. Means basically, what are we supposed to do in a bad face? Proceed back to where? To Mitzrayim. The moment that happens, the Yomah power of Lady Israel, so what's power we actually going to be? Nebuchadnezzar. This is the marker, of course, for the Rambam who wrote Mori Nebuchadnezzar, God is the perplexed. This word is found here in Chumash. The power sees us going back to Egypt, what will he say? We are obviously
perplexed.
So Galayim Amidbar, and the Chizak Yisrael Paro Vadav Achareim. So Hashem says, I'm going to harden the heart of Paro, and he's going to pursue them. The Kavidav the Paro V'Chol Chelo. I asked you this question. My father Shom was very bothered by this, and someone here asked me in the yeshiva, one of the Shana'al students, what's the difference between the Chizak Yisrael Paro and the Lashon of the Kavidav the Paro? It needs attention. I want you this weekend to look at all the parshas till now, Shmos Ve'era Boim B'Shalach, where these two terms are used interchangeably, seemingly, and tell me the distinction between them. This matter occupied and has occupied my attention for decades. It has occupied my father's Hatzal's attention, so it occupied my attention as well. Anyway, Hashem is going to harden the heart of Paro. Now, you can understand that Klal Yisrael going back to Egypt, here, he sent us out, that's the beginning of B'Shalach, and where are we going? We're headed for the next Pasuk, the beginning, Pasuk Yitches, in Perek Yud Gimel. V'yasev Elokim Asam Derech Hamid Bayamsu. And Moshe takes the Asma Silsik with him. And we're traveling. Where are we traveling towards? Where are we going?
Arsina.
That's correct. We're going towards Arsina. But now, what does Moshe Rabbeinu, what is he told by Hashem? Backtrack. Wow. And that's going to create, Paro will say, what's going on here? On the screen, in front of me, my computer screen, looks like they're coming back to Egypt. So that will embolden him to once again do what?
Walk them.
Wow, I'm going to walk them. They're going to be whopped. Do you know that expression?
Sure.
Certain types of people use that expression when they're in the boxing ring. We will whop them. W-H-U-P. Anyway, just one second, let me just get my point across. And say, guess what? Once again, we'll have a desire to pursue Klal Yisrael. So right away, even though this, by the way, is a nocha kasha my father was bothered by, my father had so many kashas in this area, it's mind-boggling. It just says, Hashem hardened the paro, and he covered the befaro, and now the moment he finds out, how can that be? The hearts were hardened. That fits perfectly. Wow, he's going to now go ahead and, shall we say, pursue Klal Yisrael, and he takes 600 chariots. And Hashem continues to harden his heart. You know the classic line that the Ashkenazim follow the Ramah? It says, "Vnei Yisrael Yotzim Yadam." I just wanted to tell you that, so you should be aware of it. That's the famous line. Rabbin followed the Mitzchaber, and we followed the Ramos. So even though it's with the hay. Yes, that's right. Ramos with an olive. This is with the hay, but this is a classic Ashkenazic mouth. Yeah.
As far as they're not considered Yisrael,
Yisrael Yotzim. Hey, what has gotten into you?
That's a fiery statement.
Wow. Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. But it's just a like a classic kind of quip, one of my quips. It's a famous quip, it's not mine. But anyway, I just want to say one thing. Can I just present the question?
Yeah.
Because I'm reading Pasuk Tes now, it looks like a very one-sided kind of affair. Namely, we have 600 chariots, and here, Ufaro Hikrim is coming closer. And guess who's behind us? Mitzrayim Nosechareim by Yireu Meod. And they are?
Afraid.
They are frightened.
Flabbergasted.
Can I answer the question?
By Yisakum and Hashem. And by the way, this is what I spoke about yesterday. The Arachayim HaKadosh, can I mention it again? Since you asked me to repeat it, I mentioned in Arachayim HaKadosh yesterday, a very famous Arachayim. Arachayim asks, Yisakum and Hashem, what does the term Tzaka refer to Tzvila? So then, that seems to be something which is appropriate at this moment. Mimamak Kwasicha Hashem. And yet, what does Hashem tell them? Pasuk Tezva, Mati Tzakelai, why are you davening? Dabel Reiso Viso, take the plunge. Take the plunger and take the plunge. Pretty bad. Anyway, you hear the question of Chaim HaKadosh? Yes. And of course, the answer to this kasha is what I said yesterday. I mentioned the end of the shiur. The first year didn't go up yet, but I hope it will. Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem, but there's a problem. Take a look at the tefillah that they seem to launch in Pesukim Yud Aleph and Yud Bey. What do they say? Vayomer Moshe. Assuming that this is the tefillah that followed by Yitzaku, what do they tell Moshe? Hamibli and Kvarim b'Mitzrayim, v'kachton lomus v'midbar. No, there aren't enough graves in Egypt. And you take us over here. What do you take us out for? We told you. Let's go stay in Egypt. Because you know what they have in Egypt? They have salmon. Salmon. They have salmon in Egypt. They have salmon. Kishuim. Avatichim. Echatzalim. Bitzalim. And now what do we have here? Man. The man tastes like whatever you want it to taste like. Man.
I want steak.
That's correct. I want papagayos. I want steak. I don't want pizza. Neither Trevi or anybody else's pizza. So, clearly, if this is the nature of this tefillah, it leaves a lot to be desired. I quoted you a maral, named the Guardian. He quotes Rashi. What does Rashi say? A very striking lashon of Rashi. And the person, possibly by Yitzhaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem, says Rashi, three words, Tafsu, Umnus, Avosam. What should Rashi have said, Nathan? He's Spalalu. That's not what Rashi says. What does it mean, Tafsu, Umnus, Avosam? They latched on to the Umnus, the craft of their forebears. Even though there only are three bears, they latched on to the craftsmanship of their forebears. Avim Avino, Davin Chakris, Yitzhak Davin Mincha, Yaakov Davin Meirev. Why does Rashi use such a lashon? The answer is that tefillah was clearly lacking. How do you know it was lacking, Gabe? Because look what they said. Let us go back to Egypt. Is that real, authentic tefillah? And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu responds on the part We are Shem is Baruch the Rex and Mati Tzake Loi. What is the nature of this tefillah? Daber Adonai Yisrael Yisrael. Yes, Yer HaChayim HaKodesh. Nimamak Mekwasicha Hashem. I'm just going back to because of what you requested a moment ago. Ein Lecha Tefillah. Ein Lecha Zman. Yosef Mesugul the Tefillah. They have a time when Klal Yisrael is beleaguered in front of them to see, behind them the Egyptians. What is wrong with tefillah? Says the Arachayim HaKadosh HaKlal Godel. That's what I said at the end of the Shia. And I compare that to Chanukah Purim, if you remember. When there is a kitrug against Klal Yisrael, namely, Ha'alolu Odi Abed Azorah, Ba'alolu Odi Abed Azorah, I didn't mention it yesterday in the Shia, but I mentioned it now. Basically, we had gone down to the depths, 49th level of Tumah. And why would we be any worthier of being redeemed than the Egyptians? There are the Abed Azorah. Where are the Abed Azorah? So when there's a kitru against Klal Yisrael, there's only one response which is appropriate. In the Siris Nefesh. We have to show that we are committed to Hashem Yisbarach. B'chol libeinu, b'chol nafsheinu, b'chol modeinu. If there's an issue of one chet, Nathan, that we commit, then what is the proper response? Tefillah, tainus, tshuva. But if, however, there's a kitrug against the existence of Klal Yisrael, as there was over here in Mitzrayim, halol de'avad azara, then the only response is da'bel b'le Yisrael b'Yisrael. I compare it to Chanukah and Purim. Purim, the Gemara says in Megillah, that what was the chet? Shenena mesuda shel Yisrael Rasha. They had hanoah mesuda v'chashverosh. And therefore, that was the chet. And that warranted what Esther told Mordechai, lech kenosis kol ha'yudim asher v'shushan, they should have a fast. The Altofu, the Altishnu, Shosh Yom, Vayim Vayim, whether that's the Mokar for Tainus Esther, or the Mokar is the Yudalid, when they were battling against the enemy, that also they fasted with the Rush, and the other Rishon, quoted by Sechaz Megillah. So a specific head demands Tainus, and Tshuva, and Tvila. But if there's a Kitro, such as on Hanukkah, when the Syrian Greeks were essentially overwhelming us, and we acculturated and assimilated and adopted their mores and their values and their lifestyle and were captured by the Goyim, by the Western world with all their values, then the only response is the response of Mesiras Nefesh, Mila Shaneloi of the Chashmalai. You hear what I just said? This distinction between Chanukah Purim, I drew that distinction based on the Yisod of the Rechaim HaKodesh over here. This is just Derech Agav, I'm saying it because it's not part of the Shir I'm giving right now. But Derech Agav, because of Likutei Basar Likutei, that was requested over here by one of the stalwarts. Going back now to the Psukim here in Chumash and B'Shalach, namely, we have here a tremendous test. Namely, Klal Yisrael is in a very difficult situation. And we know, actually, I assume you are quite aware, the Gemara says in Yuma, that the Anani HaKovod, that used to accompany them. You remember the Anani HaKovod? They accompanied them each and every day of their journey. Guess what? They moved in all directions except in one direction, backwards. So here Klal Yisrael are told to go backwards. That means they're no longer going to be accompanied by the Anani HaKovod. What did the Anani HaKovod do? They would literally collect all the blisteros, all the arrows that were thrown at Klal Yisrael. It was like a shield. What do they call that shield? When the
Iron Dome.
And the Anani HaKovod. So therefore now when they did this about face, guess what? No longer Anani HaKovod. Wow. When did they once again see the Anani HaKovod? When they came close to the Yamsuf. How do we know that?
What's the Pasuk say?
Pasuk. Take a look. You test. Very good. All Pasuk you test. Why do you not like to learn Chumash? Vayisa ma'ach ha'elokim ha'olet u'bim ha'ach ha'yisrael ha'elok mechaveyem. Vayisa ha'ulam b'tneyem ve'amu mechaveyem. Because Hashem told them, v'yisrael, get moving. Anyway, so what could Klal Yisrael have done? They could have questioned Moshe Rabbeinu. Why are you telling us to go backwards? What is going on here? V'yashuvu, v'yachanu v'pi achiros, go back to Mitzrayim. They did not do so. They now proceeded and carried out the directive of Moshe Rabbeinu to go towards Mitzrayim. Rashi, on the pasuk of Ayasu Chayim, take a look at Rashi on that pasuk. In Pasuk Dali, there's Rashi of Ayasu Chayim, Lahagin Shivcha, Sheshamu Vakom Moshe. They listened to Moshe Rabbeinu. But they didn't say, hey, this guy, go to Rofeinu. Why are we going back to Egypt? On the Sirim Levroyach. Ela Amru, what did they say? Hey, Lana, Ela, Dibre Ben Amram. My father was bothered by that lotion. Ben Amram. We listened to the Gdolei Ador.
Yeah, why is
it?
Yeah.
Akasha, I'm happy you woke up.
Why is that a problem?
It's not a problem, but why does Rashi say, Ein lanu el divrei ben Amram?
So is Moshe.
Moshe Rabbeinu, why did they not call him by his name? Ela Moshe ben Amram? As opposed to divrei ben Amram?
Because they listened to Amram when they were in Mitzrayim.
Okay.
Just like we did over there, so too over here.
So if you recall that the Pasuk Yirmiyahu, what does Navi say? Oh, that's actually a niggun that people sometimes sing. They actually say it in the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Davening, if I'm not mistaken. Namely, Ko Omar Ko Yomar Hashem Zochati Lo Chesed Niuranich Abbas Kelulo Saye, Avas what do we do? We follow Kadosh Baruch Hu where? In the midbar, the Eretz Lozrua, in an unsung
Rashi
kind of
and
land.
Last 6 parsha.
I'm sorry?
Rashi and last 6 parsha.
That's correct. Unquestionably.
They did it
so
that,
now.
They did that tune for Musaf and Beitar over Shabbos.
Are you joking?
That was very nice.
What did they do exactly?
They did that tune for Musaf Kedusha.
Where does it say in the Musaf Kedusha that tune? I'm not familiar with it.
I'm saying they did that tune for the.
Oh, they put it into the Kedusha.
Yeah,
I got it.
Like,
okay.
Well, okay, you know.
So, the. Very good. Anyway, so. Here, Klal Yisrael actually, there's a medrash. There's actually a medrash in Shmos. The medrash says that we're in a predicament. We're in a pretty bad predicament over here. But the medrash compares this predicament to a dove who flees from a hawk and hides inside the crevice of a rock. So now, in the crevice of a rock, the dove, guess whom the dove meets? A snake that's about to strike. The Mishnah in Brachos, Nochosh Korach Halakim Elo Yafsik, but the Gemara's Mechalik between a Nochosh and an Akrov. So here we're talking about an Akrov who's about to strike. Then you're allowed to be Mafsik. I'm going to say the Gemara. Happens to be today's daf. If I'm not mistaken, I'm not holding
scorpion.
Yes. So where's the daf to go? Means going forward means going closer to the snake. Retreating it, retreating now is going to be with the hawk. So who do we have? Klal Yisrael has the sea in front of them. Who's behind us? The Egyptians. There was nowhere to turn. What does the pasuk say? Pasuk Yud. Uparo hikri. Vayisu b'nei Yisrael say there. B'nei Mitzrayim nosei achareihem. Vayir ba'od. Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. So right away, they cry out to Hashem as well. The Gemara says in Erechim that this is one of the Aser Nisyeyis that Klal Yisrael had. They were tested by Hashem as well. This is one of them. And so the Ramban, and you know the Shita of Ramban. The Ramban holds that Tefillah is the Rabbonot, except when?
Esau.
And Ein Lecha Esau. That's the basis of Achaim HaKadosh Kasha, that Mimamak B'Kosich Hashem, this is the time for Tefillah. There's unquestionably, we are in terrible, terrible, straitened circumstances.
The Mishnah in Ovis doesn't say this is one of the concerns.
The Mishnah does not say, the Gemara says in Erechim. The Chazal considered to be, you had that Gemara and Erechim with you?
Is this considered to be a makkah?
No, it's not a makkah. Not Kesha the makkah. This
what?
Is one of the Nisyanas. That's not Erechim. Erechim is a Chel of Dalit. So the Gemara says in Erechim that this is considered to be one of the Essen Nisyanas that the Klal Yisrael was subjected to. And there's no question that during the time of Tzara, we're obligated to go ahead and daven. You have the Gemara? Thank you very much. Ein Menut. Essen is the only thing that we say that we need. Here it is. Achas b'yirida v'achas b'aliyah. That's what we're going to have. B'yirida the sin ha'mibli and gvarim b'mitzrayim. This is exactly our pasha. So this is one of the nesiyonos.
They failed.
What?
So they failed.
1 second. I'm coming to it in a moment here. Ari, thank you very much. So now, we have a nesiyon, and we have, this is a zman of tefillah. And Chazal tell us that the reason that the Gemara put us in this situation, the Gemara says in Yevamos. Shakurish Bohm is Ave the Tilosum Shel Tzadikim. Hashem is longing for our tefillos. There's a Medrash. You probably know the Medrash. What?
Tzadikim.
Hakadosh Baruch Hu longs for the prayers. The Medrash uses it in the context of the Imos who are Akaras. The Imos who are not able to have children. Why did Hashem make them into Akaras? The Shakurish Bohm is Ave the Tilosum Shel Tzadikim. The Gemara says also that Hashem looks for the tefillah of the tzaddikim. Anyway, the Medrash says it's like a king who's traveling and he hears the cry of some princess and she is about to be accosted by banditen, by a bunch of bandits, and the king answers her cry and rescues her. Days later, he wants to marry her and he has a great longing to talk to her, but she has no interest. So what does he do? He sends another group of banditen, another group of robbers, for the express purpose of frightening her in order that Nachamol she should cry out. And he has to be able to come to her rescue. And the bandits come and she cries out. The king, of course, approaches her saying, "You know why I sent those bandits? Because I want to hear your cry." So too, we have something of a similar nature of Hashem is brought. These are all the pashas that we read in Shmuel, Sveira, Bob, Bishalach. Vayi vayom maim, vayom asmal mitzvayim. Vayi onchu b'nei yisom min avila vayi zoku. That Hashem heard their cry and Hashem saw. He understood our plight, he understood our situation, our difficulty. So now, Nochamol, Hashem had a tremendous desire to hear us again, but we were not willing. So what does Hashem do? He sicked Paro on us. That's what the pasuk says here. Yud, who Paro hikriv. Paro started coming closer. And that's exactly what is happening over here. It means essentially the entire purpose of Paro pursuing us was in order that we should dive into Hashem's bar. So why did Chazal criticize them for having done so? Of course, the answer is, as I told you before, from the Gwarye, because look at the nature of their tefillah. And Biblia and Gwarye is right, and the deal that he makes in Rashi. Tofsu umna sabosa. My father was medayik like this, and years later I saw the Guru Arya said it. My father was medayik in Lashon Rashi. Tofsu umna sabosa means there was a lack of bitachon in Hashem's bar. They didn't have the proper bitachon, and they went and said, "Let's go back to Egypt, and let's go back and have salmon, have the salmon that they have over there in Egypt, have whatever else they have over there in Egypt, etc., etc." So now let's go into the nation of bitachon. There's a famous machlokes among the Dali HaRishayim, how to define Bitachon. The Bali Musar generally take the following tack, and this you'll hear from the Adam Gavel who comes on Sunday night. He'll tell you this. David's Poshim, that this is the Pshat of Bitachon. Namely, whatever you want, if you have complete Bitachon in Hashem Yisbarach, all your needs will be fulfilled.
I think he said that this week, actually.
I'm sure he did. I have to go to Siam. I don't have the wherewithal to get there. Pitom and Hashamayim, money comes down, manna comes down from heaven, and I have money in order to go to Siam. Now, what level of bitachon do you have to have in order to be zeicher to such a response of Hashem Yisbarach? Clearly, that requires a massive level of bitachon. The bitachon of Hagoyin of Yisrael Salant, who's the founder of the Bali HaMusar, the Musar movement, and that's a well-known story. A Seicher came to his drasha, of Yisrael Salant, he said, "Why should I work? The Rebbe speaks about Bitochon. I'll sit in Bezmedish all day. I'll daven, I'll learn, I'll say Tillim, I'll go to the Shir, and hear it says, and Shev Shmaitzah. etc. And Baba Kama. And that bitachon, Hashem will give me $10,000. I don't have to worry. So he did. He left work, began learning all day, and the days turned into weeks, and the weeks turned into months. And yet, $10,000 does not appear. Why doesn't $10,000 come down in the Shemayim? Are you? And he's down to his last shekel, his last penny. He turns to Abisol Salant and says, why was my bakasha not responded to? Abisol Salant said, if you have total bitachon, don't worry. Hashem will respond to you. Affirmatively, in the near future. If, however, you have no patience, you've waited so long, I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you $5,000 now in exchange for the $10,000 when it comes to you. So what does he do? Miyad, he jumps at the opportunity. Responds in the affirmative. Said that Abisol Salant, back to work for you. Because if you're willing to exchange $10,000 for a mere $5,000, that's a sign that you don't really believe. You're not someone who's a maimon, that you're worthy of getting $10,000, so it's never going to happen. That's one mahalach. The mahalach of the Bali Amusa. The Chazanish was chelik on this legam. Completely. The Chazanish writes that this is a fitting madrega for people of the stature of Abisol Salant. Enochanami, the people of the stature of the Adam Gobel who comes on Sunday night. But for people who are like the Rosh Yeshiva in Torah Shraga, or the Rosh Yeshiva, that's not for him. So what does Bitochen mean? Bitochen means not that I have Bitochen that whatever I want Hashem will grant me. Do I know what's good for me? I think the best thing for me is to win the Irish sweepstakes and win $10,000. And then I can retire and go on my merry way. And sit back on my divan, on my lounge chair, and have Fido bring me my slippers. It could be that Hashem feels otherwise. He feels it's more important that I say a shir, and that I answer questions on Chumash from Shana'a students. You may very well feel that. So what is bitachon? Bitachon means that everything that happens in the world is directly connected to Hashem's Baruch. He's mashkiach on every single element of my life. That's what bitachon means.
He's in,
makes it narachavaki. The Gemara actually tells a maaseh about someone actually who wanted to go on a cruise, I guess it was. I don't think Gemara had the concept of cruises, I doubt it. It's Man Chazal, but someone wanted to go on a sort of a, what do you call it, a transatlantic?
Excursion.
Excursion, transatlantic ocean liner. And on the way, apparently, he, unfortunately, he got a, I guess what you would say is a,
shipwreck.
No. He got a thorn in the foot that he had to go to a doctor and he missed the boat. And then later on, he discovers that the boat sank. So the man was very grateful to Hashem for giving him the thorn in the side of his foot and making him arrive late for the journey. So the Chazanish said, "What is bitachon?" What the Gemara says, "Rabbi Kiva, kol man yavar rachman al the tov of it. Whatever Hashem does is for the best." So the Chazanish definition of bitachon is nothing happens by chance. Ein shum mikra ba'ilam. There's no chance in the world. Whatever happens is the result of Hashem Yisbarach's declaration, Hashem is Baruch's kivun, he's the one who directs traffic. By the way, the Ramban at the end of Parshat Bari that we spoke about says the Ramban, there's no chukiyat teva in the world. It's all the result of Hashem is Baruch's decisions. So that's why when Kal Yisrael finds itself, who is behind us? Paro. Who is in front of us? The water. So Abitachon should have caused him to realize. Whatever Hashem does is for our best. Hakol b'dei shamayim. If Hashem desires, of course, he can split the sea, as he actually did in a short period of time. Or the Egyptians can also disappear, and that also happened. Bitachon means whatever happens, kol man de aver rachmana letov oved. That's the Chazon Ish's definition of bitachon. A fundamental machlokes, the Shlach Kodesh, Rabbi Yisrael Salant on that side, and the Chazon Ish on the other side. Take a look at the Amud of Bitachon in the second parak, Ma'arichus. He discusses actually this machlokes, a very fundamental machlokes. So people who are holding by Madrega of Rabbi Yisrael Salant and the Shlach Kodesh, so they follow that approach. And those who are not yet at that Madrega follow the approach of the Chazon Ish, which is probably 99% of Klal Yisrael. So Rav Chaim Shulevitz has the following kashi. If Hashem wanted us to enter the sea, why is it the only one who followed his command was Nachshon Ben Aminadab? He's the only one who jumped into the sea. So Rav Chaim answered that Hashem commanded them to die, Kiddush Hashem, they would have followed. But to actually go into the sea, believing that nothing could happen to them, wow, that's not something that everyone is capable to do, jumping into the raging sea when you have absolutely no avtocha whatsoever that you will be remain alive. That can only be done by someone who's Maisa Nefesh, such as Nachshon Ben Aminadab. So, the point we're trying to make over here is that there's a lot of tests that Klal Yisrael have, not just Klal Yisrael, all of us have. We're constantly being tested, just like Klal Yisrael were tested over here. And Bitochon is something that is really a Yisod Godel in all of our lives. We're constantly challenged. There's no question about it. There's not a moment where a person is not challenged. There's so many challenges in life that we confront on an ongoing basis. I don't even know, I'm sure all of you, even though Baruch Hashem you are relatively young people, but all of you have challenges as well. And especially the 40 years that we were in the Midbar, we were challenged on an ongoing kind of basis. The pasuk says here in Devarim, "Nachash sarah fa'akrav v'tzimon asher imayim." We were traveling in a land of snakes, all kinds of serpents, scorpions. There's no water, and yet we know mitzat sheni. The pasuk says here also in Devarim that Hakadosh Baruch Hu was with us. Lo chasa dover, nothing was missing. Simloscha labalsa mi'alecha, the garments did not wear out of them. Your feet didn't swell. And the man that fell in the desert, which is this week's Pasha, in Beshalach, was obviously that which Hashem provided the exact amount required for each day. Omer Agugoles and Omer, according to the number of people, and Le'ashir Men Adboker, you're not supposed to leave it over till the morning. And again, this requires obviously a tremendous level of bitachon. Because Hashem wanted to have a sufficient bitachon that we should rely on Him constantly, on a daily basis. And we don't know what's going to be tomorrow. And Chazal said that the man was also created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos. That's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. That the man was created then. And the Rambam writes in Pirkei Mishnah, he said all these were supernatural entities. They were not B'derech HaTeva, but unquestionably, the idea of the man, and Rashi, as you undoubtedly heard from Rabban David Shlita, I'm sure, I cannot imagine he did not quote this Rashi. But this Rashi is his favorite Rashi. Vayev ayam ha-shishi, ve'etinu es ha-shem yaviyu. And basically the Torah is telling us the lesson of the man, which of course is I just want to read the exact Lashon of Rashi. Maybe you'll hold off for 1 second until I find it. Rashi in Perek Tezayin Pasuk Lamed Beis. Says Rashi, on the pasuk Lamed Gimel, "Oyel Moshe Aaron Katzit Tera has been sent Shem of Lom Harimon." "Ba'anachos Olam Hashem and Moshe Aaron Doroseichem leave it for generations." Says Rashi, "Bimei Yirmiyahu Kshay Yirmiyahu Mochicham Lom Einat Tevoskim BaTorah." Why are you studying Torah? Yirmiyahu asked them. "Name Omrim Naniach Malachteinu Menasik BaTorah." We should leave our jobs and learn Torah. How are we going to have panosa? Holtzi lochem titenes haman. They took out this little flask of man. Amalem atem rudva Hashem. Shimu lo nema re'u. Bezen hisparnesu abesechem. Here's how your forebears were sustained. Ha'be shluchim yeshu l'amokom. Lochim mazal nirev. Hashem has many, many ways where he can sustain us. Correct? And Moshe, that's exactly what the whole Pasha Saman is all about. It's a Pasha of Bitochon. How a Jew has to have Bitochon and Hashem is Barach. And it's interesting that the Rishonim actually had Xerox. One of the Rishonim I saw, and this is really what, I don't know if you have, maybe you are familiar a little bit with, not just with this Rashi, but... Mesillas Yesharim you are familiar with. So Mesillas Yesharim, in the first paragraph he writes, whatever happens in the world, whether it's for good or for bad, are all tests. We are constantly tested. Only mitzadecha, poverty on the one side, osher mitzad sheni, wealth on the other side. They're constant tests that a person is engaged in. Serenity on the one side, yisurin on the other side. We're always, everyone has a pekel. I translate a pekel. Everyone has a package to carry. And our emunah is being tested from all directions. People think that if I were wealthy, Nathan, everything would be honky-dory. All my problems would be resolved. Trust me, wealthy people have many trials. And people who are impoverished also have many trials. So, of course, the greatest struggles we've spoken about many times is how do you draw the line between ishtadlus and bitochon? That requires a lot of careful thinking. It's a conflict, it's an ongoing conflict that we have every single day. Anyway, so that's exactly what the Shlach Kodesh and what Rav Nachum Mirimanov, the one that we are saying, this Pasha, the Pasha Samon, that's basically what they are telling us, that we are, in effect, constantly challenged and constantly being tested, but a person has to develop and cultivate bitachon. There's no doubt, I spoke about this actually in the Tanakh Shir, For a number of weeks I spoke about this. There was one outstanding young man who was present at that shir. He happens to be sitting here among us. But essentially the maskana was that the greater the bitachon, the less the ishtalos. The less the bitachon, the greater the ishtalos. But what is the lesson of the man? The lesson of the man is that Ribono Shalom, lahagid babeke chastecho, that the man is an eidus of the kindness of Hashem Yisbarach, that he sends down in Hashemayim an abundance of man, not only to feed 600,000 men, but 600,000 plus women and children. All the man, as well as, what about all the sheep and the cattle? There also needs an idea man. So we don't store the man, we don't hoard the man, as the pasuk says here in Bishalach, because we rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have emunah. And those who did hold on to the man, what happened? Vayorim toiloyim vayivash. What happened to that man? It became infested with worms and it essentially developed a stench. Vayorim toiloyim vayivash. Of course, who are they? Dasan Avirim, Chazal said. They're always all over the place. They went out on Shabbos to see if there's man, to see what's happening, and to collect the man, thus Keilu, to undo, that was Moshe Rabbeinu said. And we say in the Mizmor of Shabbos the following. What a pasuk. We should say every Shabbos morning. Bifroyach Mishoyin to Ma'isa. When the wicked blossom like grass. Vayatitzu kol po'alei oved. Looks like they're having atzlocha. The doers of iniquity. Lishom lamadiyad. You know what it's for? It's just an opportunity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ultimately, completely, and totally destroy them. So the only mud that was left over, it was not infested with all types of worms, was the mud that was put into the house of Hashem. Since Enes Haman, they remained as a aegis for all generations. Anyway, so basically what the Torah is telling us and what the Torah is trying to allude to us is that the ultimate madrega is to develop and cultivate bitochon in Hashem Yisbarach. And people like yourselves who Baruch Hashem are able to now learn in yeshiva and hopefully continue to learn for many, many years.
Amen.
That it's possible that one could continue to learn and yet still have panosa. It's no stira, not a contradiction. And whether one is going to be Kler Kodesh, be in the realm of having, be a Dayan, be a Shashiva, be a Mechanech, or one will even be a physicist, but also learn for 7-8 hours a day, as some of my chaverim do, which is amazing, there's no stira. The only tonight that's required is Bitochon Hashem Yisbarach. And that's exactly what we say in that Shabbos Tfilah, when we speak about the Atam Aram Le'olam Hashem, and we have Bitochon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like Klal Yisrael, Bitochon HaKadosh Baruch Hu before Kriya Samsuk, we also have Bitochon Hashem Yisbarach, and that Bitochon is very much embedded in the Parshas Haman, and that's embedded in the entire B'Shalach, really the entire B'Shalach is one Parsha after the next of Bitochon. Not just the Parshas Haman, what happened in the beginning of B'Shalach, and also what happened at the end of B'Shalach, that I hope you read about, and that very good sefer I saw called Shaila Abi, very beautiful diukim. I hope you'll really look at it, honestly, and you'll see how to learn the Parsha. What time is it now? No, I can't do it now. That would be low fare. So therefore, we have to try to cultivate Bitochon, Hashem is Baruch Hashem. Over the years, you'll see, Mitz Hashem, that the greater the Bitochon, the less the Ishtadus you have to do. And Hashem should give you, Mitz Hashem, that level of Bitochon that you have to do minimalistic Ishtadus, and you'll be have maximalistic Bitochon and maximalistic Dveikus and Hashem is Baruch.
Amen. Maximalistic.